Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. And this show is definitely for you if you are questioning your career reality by considering or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Now, for 8 years, our guests have provided advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business positions. Guests on this show are Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers, dancers, musicians, comedians, novelists, and the list goes on. And we throw a damn entertainment attorney in there once in a while just because you're going to need one sooner or later. Now, what's important to note is that all of our guests have been selected because they are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who can personally relate and are able to answer all of your show business career questions. And if you missed any of our shows or you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, you can always go to our archive page, and that is on the latalkradio.com website, and search for the title of our show, which is Question Reality, or search by my name, Priscilla Leona. And all of the Question Reality shows are also available for free on iTunes, Google, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. So make sure also we just have a newly designed app. It's a new design app. It's on the homepage of the LATalkRadio.com website, and it's located towards the bottom. And you have to get that app because we have so many great shows on LA Talk Radio. Incredible. We cover every single spectrum of the gamut. You want, if you are having problem in the old boudoir, there's somebody to whip you up with some sex tips. I mean, you name it, we've got all kinds of shows on here. You would be surprised. Check it out. The kinkier, the better. We got everything over there. Finally, very exciting news. If you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on this show, we are currently booking for 2017. So go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, not LA Talk Radio. That is the radio station where we air the official website, questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link and submit, and you can be on the show. Now, we're always booked 6 months to a year in advance, so you might go on a waiting list, but better late than never is what I always say. Now, every week we have a wonderful, fantastic, marvelous guest. You never know who the hell is going to be on this show. And today is no exception. We have got a sexy, sultry, titillating, hypnotizing, mesmerizing actor, writer, producer, working in television, film, and theater, Alyssa Carter! Wow! Wow! That is Alyssa Carter, and I want you to go to our website right now. It is castandreels.com. Castandreels.com, and that's R-E-E-L-S. And check that out. We are also going to have two other people today on the show. We have, of course, Albert Bico, the one, the lovely, the only. Yes. 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 Running the knobs. He's knobbing it out over there. And then we have all the way from Japan, Osaka, Japan, the greatest guitar player, next to Albert. No, the greatest guitar player, the greatest jazz guitar player in the world, Tsuyoshi Ichikawa. Woo! Woo!
Now that's a sexy, sultry voice. sultry guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, the sexy, sultry Japanese man. And today, coming all the way, not so far as Osaka, Japan, a little closer, the land of the blue crab. The land of, what else do they have in Maryland? They got blue crabs. Well, I already told you where she's from. From Baltimore, Maryland, we have Nikki Nicole. Nikki Nicole. Yeah. Nikki Nicole. Wow. To be from the land of the blue crab. Oh, the land of crabs. It's not that appealing as a woman being from the land of crabs. But that's okay. We'll make do. They are. No, seriously, if you are not familiar with Maryland crabs, you have not tasted a crab. The crabs out here in California, the Dungeness crabs, what the hell are they? They are not Maryland crabs. You have not eaten a crab cake until you've had a Maryland crab. So get to Maryland, Phillips Inner Harbor, absolutely. Now, I want to take a moment to tell you about a really cool short that I worked on as an actress. Yes, they pull me in. I don't even work as an actress, but whenever they need a little fluffy actress, you know, I got my little Michelin tire. I'm rocking out my Michelin tire. You better put that gong away. Give me a gong on my Michelin tire, on all my fluffiness. So whenever they need a little fluffy, plump actress, they call me. Usually it's my friends, and they want me in their shorts or features. So a friend of mine called me to be in his short called Moonbound 24. And it's a really wild little short. It's a great concept. It's a great storyline. It's about the earth has, what is it, Aubrey? Oh, God, I shouldn't say that. What is it about again? I'm in it. It is about the last, I'm being interviewed as one of the last people that are chosen. They're only choosing 24 people to go to the moon because the earth is about to explode because we've completely ruined it and contaminated it. And there's we cannot have any more humans live on the earth. So there is a chicken on my shoulder involved. There's aluminum foil. This is all I'm going to tell you. But the point is that we won for best web content at the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival. That deserves applause, Albert. You're not here. I'm going to fire him. Fire him. Yes. 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 And my character is named Peg Leg. And she is being, again, interviewed, and I am I'm one of the 24 chosen. But I want to tell you this because I would love for you to come to the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival. It runs February 16th through the 28th to see me in all of my glory with a live chicken and a silver aluminum Viking hat. And a red wig, and it's funny as anything. As a matter of fact, everybody who's interviewed is hysterical. It's very, very, I can see why it won. It's very funny. So please go and buy your ticket now, Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival, and see Moonbound 24. Woo! Lord have mercy. I'm out of breath and ready for a nap already. Woo! All right. So, Alyssa Priscilla. Alyssa Carter. Okay, so she is a creative producer. She's a casting director. She's a writer. She's a director. She has a BFA in film production with an emphasis in directing from Cal State University Northridge. And since 2008, Alyssa has worked with casting offices such as Emily Schweber, Mark Sachs, Brad Gilmore, and Michael Donovan. She has cast for commercials, music videos, and independent films. And Alyssa was the casting coordinator and a producer for the Polaris Network at Walt Disney Computer Maker Studios. She is the co-owner and operator of Cairn. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Cairn
Studios, where they create branded commercial content. And Alyssa has also written and directed several independent short films, including, I love mockumentaries, a mockumentary musical entitled Sing About It, which was awarded Best Comedy Short by the Subversive Cinema Society. Oh, I love that. Subversive Cinema Society in 2016. Wow. It seems, listen, you would be hung out with somebody submersive in cinema.
It's actually subversive.
Did I say that? Subversive. What the hell did I say? Submersive. Woo. You know, we had a couple cocktails earlier. Right. What? Now, first, let's go back. I met Alyssa. We were talking about this a couple of minutes ago. I met Alyssa in 2000, actually probably before 2008, because she was one of my first guests on the radio show in 2008. But when I met her, she was this, as she still is, gorgeous young bright-eyed girl, and she'd come to Hollywood to take it by storm as an actress. And this is a wonderful guest to have on here, because you know I talk all the time about how you come here thinking that you want to pursue one type of career, but you end up completely changing or adding to what you yes. wanted to do. So this is a great example today of a situation like that happening. So let's take us back. I first meet you. You're here to pursue a career in acting, and obviously from reading your bio, this has changed. What happened?
Well, like you said, I was here pursuing the ever famous dream of becoming an actress. And then I decided to take some acting classes and pursue that whole thing. And the late Carolyn Barry mentioned to me that if I wanted to understand this town a little bit better, I should get into casting. And so I took her advice, and I was interning for numerous different offices. And then when I was applying to become a casting assistant, because I actually really enjoyed it, I needed my degree. And so I decided to go back to school. But I didn't decide to go back to school for acting. I wanted to kind of learn a little bit more about the other side and get my degree in film production. And so I did get my BFA in film production from Cal State Northridge. And the rest is history.
I want to ask you, you said that earlier, and I wanted to jump in, and I forgot. You said that you needed your degree. What did you need the degree for? To be a casting director?
Casting assistant.
Casting assistant. Why were they asking for a degree? Because I know a lot of people who never even had degrees.
There's definitely the route of like, oh, you're an intern and you're doing really well, we'll just hire you. But I was not ever in a position where I was guaranteed that position. And so I was applying for other positions, and they wouldn't even look at my resume if it didn't have, you know, a degree on it.
And what did they want you to have a degree
this was
in?
Back
communication?
Or? Just a degree.
Just a degree.
And this, this, by the way, was back in 2008, 2009. So, you know, things have definitely changed since then with, like, education and what are requirements. And filmmaking, by the way, is definitely something where there's this argument of should you go to school or should you just be in the school of hard knocks? And I would definitely say both. Because I wouldn't have the contacts I have now if I didn't have my peers. Half the jobs that I got are from my peers. But having that experience has also taught me a lot more than I learned inside the classroom. So you can go either way.
Now, director, let's talk about, you just completed the teaser proof of concept for The Land I Once Knew,
yes.
which will be released next month. And it's written by David Carter, your father.
That's my dad.
I didn't know. He's an aspiring screenwriter.
Yeah,
didn't know
he's
that.
Been writing that script for 20 plus years now.
That's and, good. But some of the best movies are 14-20 years, some of them.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it is a really great concept. Honestly, it's a period piece in the 1970s. It takes place at West Point, and it's the first year that women are allowed in the military, and so there's definitely some interesting plot points that happen. In fact, a lot of plot points that I told him I think it'd be better as a series. And so we wrote a teaser that kind of encapsulates all of what's important to telling that story, and we hope to, you know, maybe do some crowdfunding and pitch and see where it takes us. Because I just know that it's a story he's always wanted to tell. And so it's something I kind of wanted to give to him as a gift.
Now, when you did the, I assume it's you put it up somewhere. Where can we see it? Did you
well,
put it up?
Well, it'll be released next month.
Next month. Yes. Oh, I said that, didn't I? Next month. Where is it going to be? That's what I went. Where is it going to be released? Are you going to put it on the website?
We'll have a website specifically catered to the Land I Once Knew. And so that will be.
So if we go to Cast in Reels, will it be on there tell you where to see it?
Probably not, because that's not the same sort
how
of
would we How would we find it? If we're listening to you today and we want to go, oh, I want to see Alyssa's The Land I Once Knew, how would we find it?
Well, since Cairn Studios produced it, it'd probably be on the Cairn Studios website.
Okay, so that's C-A-I-R-N studios.com. So we want to see that. Now, are you going to go, what way are you going to, is a short or is it a full feature?
It's just a teaser right now. It's about
It's
a screenplay that my dad wrote as a feature, and we're actually thinking about turning it into a series. Because there's just so many interesting plots to go in different directions that we think it actually might be more engaging that
way. And will you be the
also
producer?
Netflix is dying for context.
Yeah, that's true. Also Pop TV, so don't forget them. Pop TV, they dying for content. What position are you going to, producer, director?
I was producer and director on this teaser, and I mean, it just depends. I mean, I would love to produce it. I would love to direct it. I'd love to help write it with my dad.
Yeah.
It just depends on, you know, the direction we
who
go.
Who lets you?
Yeah, exactly.
The money man. Who the hell's going to let me do it? Yeah. So you eventually are going to try to raise the money via fundraising?
Sure, yes.
Which particular site are you going to go? Indiegogo?
I like Indiegogo.
Kickstarter.
I do like Indiegogo better than Kickstarter. Sorry.
Yes, you do get to keep the money.
Yes.
Yes, I like that.
It's a 9% that they take if you don't complete your funding, and it's 4% if you do complete. So it's not that bad.
Yes. And for those of you who are not familiar with that, please read before you make the commitment to go to Indiegogo and Kickstarter. There's actually another website that is coming up.
Seed and Spark.
Yes, and Spark.
They're great too.
Yeah. So have you done the comparison between the three?
I haven't personally hosted a fundraising campaign on Seed and Spark, but a bunch of my friends have.
Mine too. And I tell you, they love, and I had a chance to look at it. And what I love, because I have like OCD, I'm extremely organized and I like things in a specific order. And what I love about them is that they allow you to say, for example, you want to donate to Alyssa's film and you want to be responsible. You're interested in makeup. And you say, well, you know what? I want to donate money, but I want my money to specifically go to all the hair and makeup. Not that it's going to go there, because you know it all gets bundled together. But the donators don't know that. Oh, I guess they do now. But you know what? It's like, yeah, it's the illusion. They have it set up where you can actually donate
to a specific department.
Yeah, makeup, that's costume, cool. Hair, special effects, whatever turns you on.
Nice.
And I guess they work it out some way. So I really like that aspect, but it's not shooting. As far as Kickstarter and Indiegogo, but I'm rooting for him. Now, you have a commercial content for Crazy Dog, I hope I'm pronouncing this
Grimucci.
Right. Grimucci outdoor clothing line, Legacy, the Jiu-Jitsu training facility in Burbank, and Marine Group Boatworks in San Diego. Tell us about that.
So this is the production company my partner Joe Ramos and I started in 2015. And so we started out actually doing acting reels because it's a pretty profitable and marketable thing in Los Angeles.
Yes.
But we are actually turning directions to just kind of focus only on commercial and branded content. And so that is what we're building on our portfolio, and those are just some of the pieces that we've done. And what's great about starting your own company is that you can really create the content you want to
create.
And not have someone bossing you around and telling you what they think is
you
marketable.
You need a degree.
or what they think is marketable when you're just like, no, that's probably not the best direction we should go in. So I really have enjoyed my experience doing that. That's actually taught me a lot lot as well. Just, you know, being on set, running a company, running just running budgets, everything combined. And it's really nice to have a partner as well who can support. We support each other all the time. And so it's really nice to not have to do everything yourself.
It's true. Now, you just wrapped shooting a Nutella commercial. Love Nutella.
Yes.
Love Nutella.
Yeah, that was really
fun. Did you get free Nutella? Did they give you anything free?
No.
Damn.
What? But it was a fun experience.
That's a huge, was it a national or regional commercial?
I'll tell you that it actually is for a contest for Nutella. And so we submitted to the ICA contest, and we find out in March if we win. And but still, we have the commercial.
Wow.
So again, it's building the portfolio. It's getting your name out there. It's showing the kind of quality of work that we can provide. And
that's exciting. Nutella. Oh, that must have been fun.
It was. It was a Christmas-themed commercial.
And I love anything Christmas.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cute. Actually, we had like a homemade conveyor belt, and we see the process of like all the baked goods and then all the different ways you can use Nutella and stuff with family and
oh, I want to see it now. I want to see it.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to...
It'll probably be on our website in a few weeks.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Do you put that in your contract that whenever you shoot for people that you make them release that you can use their footage?
There are some people for the acting reels. There were some. I will even say that there were a couple clients who were like, "I would prefer you not put it on your website and stuff." So, I mean, we definitely do have a contract that says, you know, you grant us permission to do that, and most people are pretty cool about it. There are definitely a few who are like, maybe not so much.
I want to see the Nutella. Please let me know when that comes out.
Yeah, that will be on the Karen Studios website.
So excited talking about websites. You just launched your new website today, Cast and Reels. That gets a... I'm going to fire him.
Come on, Albert.
Albert! Albert, we got to have...
just launched today.
Yeah, and what I love about it is it's a platform for actors, as you said, to... practice the business side of acting. You offer coaching workshops and producing actor reels, right?
So this is now the platform where the actor reels will be. And because I have had experience in casting offices and casting myself and being a filmmaker, I just felt like working with actors, you know, green and seasoned, there are so many mistakes that they still make that can set them apart from being cast and not being cast. And I was just thinking to myself, gosh, you know, it's not like I have crazy union status credentials, but I have enough, like, good 10 years of living in this town now that I feel like I have information I can relay. And if it's helpful at all to people who are aspiring actors, then I'd love to share that because I wish I knew it, you know.
Oh, it's true. And this town, as in every town and in business, there are scam artists and people that rip you off. And I see so many actors that had their reels done and they paid a fortune and they're not even done correctly. They have like 5 minutes of footage.
It's crap.
And then the next one, 7 minutes.
Sorry.
It's like, no. 30 seconds, a minute, please. And then it's always slow, medium, fast, or comedy, you know, drama, action. You can't have it. But it's so important because casting people, as you know, being a customer, they will give you 5 seconds.
Yeah, it should pull you in. I actually just wrote my first blog that is on the site, under blogs at castandreels.com. If you search under blog, I have one that says what your portfolio should look like. And I really go into detail about what you should have in your reel, because a headshot and resume is really not enough anymore.
No.
And by the way, just a tip, always, always bring your headshot and resume to an audition. There are people who are like, oh, people just do stuff online. It's true.
No.
But you should always have it with you.
Always.
Just look professional and have one with you.
Oh,
always.
That's so true.
But as far as the actor reels go and just footage that you're presenting, there's people who... like either have footage from a film that they did that is not the footage that they expected, and so it's just like their hand in a shot or something, or it's terribly lit, terrible sound, and it's like that's how you're representing yourself. So your footage matters. You could be the lead in that film and show your acting chops, but if it looks like crap, no one's going to take you seriously.
Right. That's right.
And so I think people fail to realize that, and it's unfortunate because you just spent a lot of time on a film where you were the lead, but this footage is unusable.
Right.
It's not usable.
And I want to talk about that because an interesting thing happened. I'm not going to mention names, but I have a friend, and as I told you, they're always sending me whenever they need a fluffy. So she's like, oh my God, there's a role for you on The Blacklist. And I'm like, oh my God, I have no interest in acting. She's like, I don't care if you get it or
That's
not.
A good show, though.
I need, yeah. But she needed to fill, you know, when you have a requirement for a certain look as a cast member, you got to send many people. They want you to send, you never know. So I'm like, okay, I'll do. So what was great is that, and I love this, they offer what's called e-casting, where you film it at home. So they wanted me to, they sent me the sides and they wanted me to do the scene and send it, right?
A lot
of
that's
happening these days. The lighting was terrible. The sound was terrible. And I thought, you know, I wonder if there's any company out there that's actually offering, you know, you may only have until tomorrow, but do you offer a service where I could say, call you, oh my God, Alyssa, I have to do a audition tomorrow and they want me to send it. Can I run over and shoot it? Because that is something that's happening more and more often that you should think about.
Here's what I'll say to that. I will say that casting can use their imagination as far as an audition piece, but as far as like your footage that's representing you, that should be top notch.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm going to add to that, because I, not for The Blacklist, but I have a friend that works on an A-list show, and she's a casting person, and she said that when they're looking at these reels that are submitted, if the acting is comparable, they'll go with the person who took the time to have it better lit, better sound.
I'll agree with that, for sure. Yes. There's agencies, if you have an agent as an actor, there are actually certain agencies that already offer that. They'll say, hey, come by the office and we'll shoot this for you, because you don't have time. You have to get it in.
Yeah.
Or if you're out, sometimes there's actors that they really want, but they're out of town filming something, and so they'll film it on while they're on set.
Right.
And so sometimes it just depends on the situation and who you are.
Right.
If this is a pre-screen audition where they haven't met you yet and they don't know who you are, I would and you're missing the audition, that's just like a bad thing in the first place. But if you have to go on tape, then yes, it should probably be of more quality.
Yeah, set something up in your house and have it ready to go if you're an actor. Good lighting, good something. Okay, so you have what's called crash scene study. You also offer individual career consultation, crash scene study prep before your auditions,
right?
Which is
so
great.
That's if someone has an audition and they want to go over it, you know.
Yeah.
That's for feedback, from a casting perspective.
Oh, love it. You have workshops to share a casting and filmmaker perspective. What is that about?
So I have this workshop. I'm actually hosting this, my first one.
Yes!
This Wednesday, the first, from 7:30 to 9:30. It's at Hollywood Casting and Film in Hollywood. And it's called the run-through workshop. And really what that is we're going to be doing some cold reading, practicing. If you have material that you want to bring and practice reading, you go through like a mock audition, and I would give you feedback on some of the mistakes maybe you're not recognizing. I'll give you an example. There's someone who comes in and you've got a camera, you're being taped in the room, and someone was just like faced the completely opposite direction of the camera, so we're looking at them in profile the entire time. And it's like, yes, it's great that you're working on your craft and you're focused on the scene and stuff, but if I can't see you, know, like, look at where the camera is. What, like, if the camera is facing or on one side of the room, then that's where you should be looking, or at least cheating out towards so that we can see you. And that's an amateur mistake, I feel. I feel like that's just common sense, but people make that mistake all the time.
And then a lot of times when you go into an audition, if you're new, and they'll have what's called a reader. So there's a camera, and then there's someone to the side, usually a casting assistant, and
I would be doing the reading.
You would be doing the reading.
Yes.
And what happens is the actor, because they don't know, know they're, and they usually will tell you, but sometimes they won't tell you. They'll say either look in the camera, but they will be having the dialogue with the casting assistant. So they're looking off over there and the camera is filming them. Well, and a lot of time they won't tell. And I've seen that happen so many times.
This is something that I always recommend to people too. A lot of actors are afraid to ask questions mm-hmm. before they start. And it's like, is your time. You're in the room and you should take and own that and not be afraid to ask details about the scene. Like, hey, where should my eye line be?
Right.
Hey, what's my frame so I know if I can move around or not?
That's
should
right.
I really stick to the dialogue or do I have some room for improv? Like, I mean, these are questions that you can ask mm-hmm. so that you can give a better audition.
There's a saying, ask a question, be a fool for 5 minutes. Don't ask a question, be a fool for life. So we don't want to be a fool for life.
And it's asking the right questions
yeah.
too, because
yeah.
there are questions that are like, okay, now yeah. you're overstepping your boundary. Like, what choice should I make? That's yeah. not a question you ask. That's something
that's,
you just do. But logistical questions about the scene,
right.
you can absolutely ask. Oh, hello.
Yes. There's someone ringing. We're just going to ignore that. We're going to pretend that that's a sound effect from Albert's phone. Now, what I'm excited is that the hosting, the first free workshop, it's going to go from 7:30 to 9:30, 7:30 to 9:30. So that's 2 hours. What are you going to do in the 2 hours? What all are you going to do? Because it's free, people. You got to come to the workshop.
Well, it's really important to me to ask first and foremost what actors' goals are, because everyone actually does have their own different yeah. path. What's their goal? What's their type?
Right.
What are they looking for? What are they looking to get out of their career?
Right.
And kind of like talk a little bit about that first, introduce the subject, introduce myself to some of the people who are there. And then if they have their own material, we can go through some of that. And if they have...
So they should bring their own material.
Or I will also be providing cold reading material and to practice that too, because I think a big part of auditioning is taking an adjustment.
Right.
And so when I say run through, it's really like you're going to run through a mock audition. I'm going to give you feedback on your audition. And I'm also going to ask you to take an adjustment, because when you rehearse something one way and you go into the room and you knock it out of the park, if the casting director likes you, but they want you to do it a different way, you got to be able to make that change right on the spot, or have to do that again the same way exactly.
Absolutely.
So it's just good practice, and
it
so
is.
That's kind of a safe environment I'm creating for actors to practice.
And in this particular, okay, so what I have here is people can go to your website, castandreels.com, to sign up, or they can go to Eventbrite.
Correct. It's on Eventbrite, and you can reserve your seat. I have a few seats left. I think there's maybe like 10 or so left.
Mm.
So snag those up. I will be holding more workshops in the future, but this one is
free. Woo! A question, is this place where it's going to continue to be, or is this just...
I will be honest and say I'm not sure.
Okay.
My friend Sunny owns Hollywood Casting and Film, and I cast there a lot, and we're friends, and so he's actually doing this for me as a favor.
Uh-huh.
Because usually they close at 6.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if he's going to let me to do it continuously, but there are other theaters that I'm looking into for hosting more workshops in the future.
All right, parking? I always ask that because actors...
After 6,
me.
It's free.
It's
so
free.
You can find a spot.
So free event, free parking.
Yes.
All right. So we are going to have a wonderful. We're going to give Alyssa a break because she has been talking nonstop and her mouth is so dry, I'm sure. And we're going to bring her back. But we have a special treat for you. And when we come back, Nikki is going to be asking some questions from a non-entertainment related perspective, because there are so many people who are not in the entertainment business,
sure,
who have lots of questions like, why does this happen? Why does that happen? She has some questions. But we are going to give you a treat today. Now, this is, again, one of the greatest Japanese guitar players in the world, Tsuyoshi. He's here visiting. So I said, we got to sneak him in on Alyssa. She's not going to mind having him play a little song. He is going to be joined by Albert Baiko, and they are going to be playing one of my favorite songs in the world called
Black Orpheus.
So this, without further ado, Tsuyoshi Ichikawa and Albert Baiko playing Black Orpheus. Take it away, little boys.
Okay.
Okay.
applause. Oh, yeah. Wow.
That was amazing.
Oh, wasn't that nice?
Sexy and sultry.
Yeah. So yeah. Sexy and sultry. So, Nikki, and again, that's Tsuyoshi Ichikawa and Albert Baiko. Thank you, boys. You know what? I might have you be thinking of a song, because I'm going to have you close out the show since we got that extra 5 minutes. So, be thinking of something like a little bit more Beatles, Eagles. Oh. Don't hit me with any jazz. Just Beatles, Eagles. So, and no Blackbird, please. Oh, people love that song. I do not like that song. I don't know why, but I've never liked it. So Nikki Nicole, the one I was, say hi to your fans.
I have fans.
Oh no, but you will. Aww. Ella says. So you are not in the entertainment business. You are a phlebotomist. You draw blood like a vampire.
Yeah,
She
didn't know who I was sitting next to. Jeez.
Watch your veins.
She can hit a vein from a mile away. She's always looking at my veins. Get away from me. But
I do actually. I stare at veins.
You do. Oh my
creepy.
Gosh, you got to.
I don't tell many people.
Right.
So
you want to see who has plump veins.
Look
you,
at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you probably are commissioned to get people's blood when they're sleeping. Right. Now, as a person who is not in the entertainment industry.
At all. My skills
and
whatsoever.
However, you should be. I still think you should be a celebrity makeup artist. You can rock that matte paint, that lipstick that you put on me that wouldn't come off for 5 days. I don't know what that was. But what questions did you have when you read Alyssa's website?
Well, first of all, I think the website was so awesome.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Like, I text Priscilla. I'm like, is this the only thing? Like, is she the only one doing this? This is amazing. Like,
no,
there's a lot of competitors.
Yeah, a lot of competitors.
You know, I don't know anything about anything in LA, but this is like the
most great idea.
Amazing thing that I've ever read. And I read, you know, a little about you, and I'm like, wow, I love her personality. Like, you really wrote that really well, and I thought that you were just so sweet
by the writing of her bio, you could tell. You told me you could tell what kind of personality she had, and that's exactly the type: quirky, funny, comedic. You know, down to earth.
I guess my biggest questions is, so this is really for someone who is just pursuing an acting career, who is currently going on auditions. And and I would like to think the hardest thing to deal with would be accepting criticism or someone critiquing my personal style or the way I look or how my face is shaped. Or, you know, as a teacher, what would be a best practice in changing someone's mindset to think differently and to not take it personal?
It's a great question.
And when getting that feedback.
There are so many actors that first I just have to say, if you're an actor, you're brave because you're vulnerable. You are putting yourself out there in front of people all the time and really just showcasing your skill set. And so to get feedback or criticism or, you know, the most time rejection, it takes a toll on your soul a little bit. And so, I mean, even seasoned actors still struggle with rejection because if it's consistent, you know, it can start to really just bleed at you. And I think my biggest piece of advice is honestly, like, rejection is information. It just tells you more about that person than yourself. Because if you go in for a role, just one role, if you're not right for it, then that's not you. That's just them.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you're good necessarily. It just means you weren't right. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily a personal thing. And there are definitely a lot of actors who understand that rejection is not personal. But I'll tell you, there was this actor who came in for one of our auditions, and he's a seasoned actor. We've cast him before, and he would audition for something. It was his callback, and outside and in the waiting room, he's like, "Did I do okay? Like, was that all right? God, can I do it again? Like, I feel like I need to do it again." Or it's beating himself up, and I'm just like, "You are in your head, man. You've got to stop doing that to yourself, because it's not fair to you. You are who you are." You can't change the way your eyes look or how big your breasts are. Or I mean,
well, actually, you can.
Actually,
I guess you can. Yeah, but I mean, the point is that you are who you are, and if you don't want to go spend millions of dollars on fixing yourself to cater to one role, then yeah, like seriously, sorry, fuck them. Seriously, yeah. It's really just like not a.
He's gonna have that attitude.
You do have to have that attitude of like you like who you are, and you are. And they say this is cliche, but you are unique. You know, you mm-hmm. have a face that is your own. Nobody else looks right. like that, unless you know you have a doppelganger. But I mean, you know,
that's right.
It's wow. it's your own, and so you just kind of have to own it. And confidence speaks volumes when you walk into a room. If you make a choice and you are good at your work and you are confident in your ability, it doesn't matter what you look like half the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, casting directors will go, wow, I really didn't see you in this role, but you just blew me away because you were confident and because you made a choice that really just, you know, that's what's great about being an actor is sometimes you show directors and casting directors and producers a way of the scene that they hadn't thought.
Yeah. And they'll rewrite the whole thing if they love it.
Hey, what was that guy's name on Glee? The guy who played Kurt. The guy who plays Kurt. Mm-hmm. His role was written in the show, I believe, because he had such a great audition, you know?
Right.
So it happens. And, you know, there are exceptions. But I feel like there are definitely a lot of directors and producers and casting directors out there who like to sit on a high horse and make you feel horrible about yourself because they're miserable themselves. Yeah. And you just have to shrug that off because, again, it's about them, not you. And that would just be my best advice.
Yeah, I'm glad you just said that. I want to talk to you a little bit about this weird thing. A lot of actors ask me this, and I actually had this experience casting directors. All right. So the amateur actor goes into the room. Now, sometimes there could be one casting director who's shooting you. There could be two. Sometimes you'll walk in, like I did for 6 Feet Under, and there are 10 people, including Alan Ball, right up in your grill. And you have to know what you can and can't do.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that, and this will really mess you up big time because if you go to shake a casting director's hand, depending on who it is, they will either be nice and shake your hand or they're going to say something very rude to you, which happened.
Oh, no.
Which happened.
Yeah, you shouldn't shake hands. Just
not to just me. I don't go shaking anybody's hand because I'm a germaphobe, but this happened to a poor guy. Poor guy went in and he went to shake the casting director's hand, and the guy said, just laid him out and told him that he was unprofessional and wouldn't see him. He's like, if you don't know enough to not to come in.
It's hard. Oh. It's hard. I mean, yeah, you're totally right, because I've had people come into sessions I'm holding and they'll shake my hand and whatnot. And
yeah, do that.
Unless I put my hand out. Right. Then, like, it's just like I'm seeing a million people a day, so I don't want to touch every person's hand.
Yes.
And that's really what it's about. It's not about, like, I'm rejecting you physically. It's more like, I don't want to get sick.
No, it's true. It's true.
No. Yeah.
And another thing is females, again, you're just starting out, professionals know this. Now, I'm a lover of perfume. I douse it on like I'm from going to the Copacabana. But do not douse yourself with a ton of perfume.
Deodorant is acceptable.
Deodorant is acceptable.
Please wear deodorant.
Like, not a lot of perfume. Yes. Or
people are allergic.
And, and that.
Sensitive.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not. Another thing is, if you go to an audition and you're wearing something, or you have your hair a certain way or makeup, and you get a call back, duplicate it. A lot of people are like, no, duplicate it always, because they remember you, believe it or not, whether it's conscious or, you know, they usually take pictures of you and you're filmed, but wear the same thing. And if it's a third callback, which is rare, but it happens, wear that. And then show up. If you get the part, book the part, show up on set with that, unless they tell you that they already have wardrobe for you or ask you to bring. Right.
It's true. I mean, there's not a lot of people who
tips.
Those are tips, and they're good tips. And there's not a lot of people who actually do that. But there are the select few where I was like, oh, that was the outfit she was wearing in her audition. That's great. Like, now I remember her specifically.
Right.
And it does ring a bell in your head because you do recognize the outfit, because that's how you.
Because if you go back and your hair's different, say you went in as a blonde and they call you back and you decided to become a redhead or dye your hair black.
That's just plain stupid.
That's stupid.
Don't do that.
And they're like, oh, well, I'm the same person. I can still do the same acting.
I mean, unless it's for a role.
Right.
Like, you were like, I was just booked and I had to dye my hair. If you give, like, a
disclaimer. Yes, a valid excuse. Yeah. But don't be trying to give them a different look. Well, look, this is for next time. I can be a redhead next time. No, they don't care about that. So, question for you. What is the biggest piece of advice you could give aspiring actors who dream of moving to Hollywood?
Okay.
Mine is, do not come here with $50 in your pocketbook.
That will
East
make
Coast
it
accent.
Tough. Yeah.
Do not, you've got to save. You've got to find out what prices are here in LA. They're extremely high. So you want to have enough to live for 1 year in your own apartment. Don't be doing any roommate sharing thing. Oh, it's stressful. It's just grody. Yes, that is an 80s reference. But save enough money that you can have an apartment for at least a year, electricity, food. You have to. Don't come here with any money and think, oh, I can just get a job. It's so stressful. And what will happen is, oh, some people make it, but a lot of people will come here and they can't handle it. They run out of money. They have to get a day job. Then they can't go to auditions and it just snowballs. And then they're back. They're back in bumfuck Kentucky.
Oh.
Idaho, Illinois.
The Midwest.
Somewhere. But and it's all because they didn't properly plan. So that's my tip.
I can speak to that as someone who did that. Exactly.
Okay. When I
moved here in 2007. Oh, God. Long time ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I too saved up money. And I thought it was enough. But 4 months later, I was out of it.
That's right.
And I was like, because if you're pursuing acting specifically, you run out from doing headshots and taking workshops and going to classes. And
got to factor that in.
And then you're just normal expenses. So, and then there's also the scam. So when you're new to LA, people try and pick on you immensely. And so you're spending your money thinking you have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on all this bullshit. And then your money goes down the drain and nothing has really come of it. So
absolutely.
Not to say that you shouldn't spend money on headshots, but there are
There
are people out there who don't ask you for an arm and a leg to shoot them. And
and you got to get references. Reference, ask other actors. Who did you go to? If their pictures look good. Oh, but you might not know if they look good.
I recommend, like, if you are moving to Los Angeles, it's really great to have a friend.
Yes.
I did move here with I moved here from San Jose, and I moved here with my good friend Kelly, and we shared an apartment together for a year. And it was actually really nice having like a companion that I could.
Who knows the area, knows where to go.
Oh no, we both moved from San Jose.
Oh, you both.
But it was just nice to have a friend to
feel support.
Yes, exactly.
Not we were both scared because it's a scary town.
We both were pursuing the same thing. In fact, our first movie we did together as twins, which made no sense. It was like this really crappy like vampire movie that some student film. It was terrible, but it was a good experience. But it was nice to have her. So I will say that was a really nice experience to like have a friend. If you do know someone who lives out here who knows the area and whatnot, like, I mean, I knew you before I moved out here, I believe, and Priscilla, and so that was helpful in just like you giving me tips and advice on where to go, where not to go, stuff like that, good places to live where it's, you know, safe. I definitely would recommend that. And you kind of said it with the budget, because I feel like even though I did save, again, it's gone.
It's never enough.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to talk about very, very, very important set etiquette. Let's talk about set etiquette as an actor. What are some do's and don'ts when you're on the set? Mine is, do not participate in gossip, because the background actors will come up and they will talk about, oh, I just worked on this project, and they have some gossip about the star of the show, and they went, don't talk about it. Right. So take over, Alyssa.
I would speak to that as well, because I made that mistake when I was still in school. I made the mistake of just being a crew member, gossiping and talking crap about someone else who was actually on set. And needless to say, that person didn't hire me again. So learned that the hard way. But some set etiquette that I feel is really, really valuable is as an actor is to know more about filmmaking. Like, hey, as a director, if I say, can you start on your one and go to your two, you should know what that means. If you understand the frame, so you can say, oh, I'm in a medium or a close-up or a wide, you know what they're filming so that you can, that actually betters your performance a little bit. Stuff like that. So just learning a little bit more. Learning a little more about the terminology, I feel is really helpful to, as an actor on set. Don't be a diva. Everyone thinks that, oh, I'm the lead. I have a sense of entitlement. It's like, we hate it. We hate it when you're a diva. We want to keep you happy because, hey, you have to, you know, draw from an emotional place or something for the for your role. But that doesn't mean you treat people like shit. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you walk around with a crown on your head. It just means that you have an important part and you should help your team who is here to collaborate and make a piece. And not to disvalue the actor, but you are one person on set. There are a bunch of other people who are there working to create this piece. Yeah. And so, teamwork. You know, it's everyone's very vital to creating the whole project. And to think that you're the star just because you're the lead, I think...
It's an ensemble, people! It's an ensemble!
Yes, it really is. And I think even crew members forget that, too. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's not my job. That's not my department. It's like, well, your department affects that department, so you should probably care a little bit more about their jobs because they affect you.
There you go. So there you go, Alyssa Carter! Woo! Give that little... We appreciate... Thank you so much coming on the show.
To be here, so thank you for having me.
And please go to her website, castandreels.com, and you want more of her great advice, go to her workshop this
Wednesday
at
7:30.
Go to the website. You got to. It's free, but you do have to register it because she has limited seats. Please come back and let's promote some more of your projects.
Yeah.
Alyssa Carter, now that I know you're back, that's it. You're going to be a regular guest.
Thanks so much, Priscilla.
And thank you so much, Nikki. Thank you, Nikki, for coming on the show every time you come to town. So let's close it out with a song from Tsuyoshi Ichikawa and Albert Baika. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye. Wait. Go ahead.
Oh wait, yeah, here we go.
Take two.
Thank you.